always interesting. Like we were saying earlier, you can give the plot of a story in a few sentences, but all the detail that goes into telling is what makes a good author. Now, the reason I ask is if you're interested in that file, I can send it to you. If you send me an email, then I can send it back to you sometime in the next few days.
You can do that. That'd be interesting to receive. It's mycallsign@gmail.com. That's the one I check. I have like 7 accounts. I thought it was smart to have a different email account for my different interests, right? So I have lots of interests, and I wound up with 7 working email addresses. That doesn't work out. It really, really doesn't work out. For various reasons, but I don't know if there's any good solution to that. Having one email for everything does not categorize. Reading all your email every day, as my wife does, is probably the best way to do it, but I don't have that discipline. At that moment, you can toss it into a box as sort of, you know, like putting it in a whole different file drawer in the cabinet, you know. You could do that, but that's not the way I handle email. I'm so bad about email, but I will look for that. KK4JBQ.
Hey, I have the same thing. Oh, I got you beat. I have 8. I've got one as a general type of thing. I've got a finance, a family, which is pretty much limited to family and friends. A business, which is a giveaway when businesses want one. A news one. A legal one, the medical one, and organizations.
You had one only for ham radio stuff. My call sign at Gmail is only ham related.
To get a new one for that. But I find this categorizes the emails I get. And generally, if I'm expecting something, say from a credit card, and then I go to the finance one. And I'll usually check the family one first. If it's news, then I may or may not look at it. And if it's medical, if I'm expecting an appointment or something like that, then I go there. I don't like going through one where I get 50 or 60 in a day that I've got to wade through, and then if I miss a day, I've really got to go through them. And I don't really like the ones, at least on some of the email, where you can have a filter. But since you use Gmail, maybe you can answer me a question. Is there a way of sorting who the different emails are from? I haven't figured that out yet.
Not that I've done it, but I do understand that you can have, well, at least on a Mac, I don't know what type of computer you use, but I use Firefox. I think that standardizing on one email client we could talk, you know, the same language. If you're using Firefox, then they have what's called a smart mailbox, and that will categorize and toss it into other folders your email on a specific topic containing a specific word or group of words. Yeah, that would be possible. I do think. I don't organize mine that way. As a matter of fact, I mostly ignore my email. I was looking just, I didn't have mail open, but I have in one account, I have 2,440 unopened emails. This goes back years now. This isn't this last 6 months or anything. And on another, I've got 3,928. And on another, I have 6,720 unread emails. So, as you can tell, by just sheer numbers, you can tell I'm not good at that. So, come up with something that does a better job for you. K4JBQ.
Thunderbird. My primary computer is in the shop. It started acting up and doing weird things. So now I'm using a laptop, and I don't have it set up the same way. The one on the desk is an iMac. It started blinking at me, and I couldn't do anything to stop it. It's been in the shop. I think he's having to order parts for it. It's an older model. I think I got it in 13. And I'm not sure what he's going to be able to do to it. So I'm still in transitioning to the Apple. I'm not sure I really like the Apple stuff better than the Windows. My brother really likes it. Everybody says it's very intuitive. I don't think so.
Maybe you have to, I don't know. I can see it if, I can see a person liking Windows if it's all they've ever used. And they have developed along with the changing thing that Windows is. However, my experience of computers has not been like that. My first computer was not even DOS. It was before DOS. It was an operating system called CPM. CPM was pre-DOS. As a matter of fact, it did have a command line that had a C prompt. And that's critical if you understand command line. The Digon thing had a C prompt for the C drive, of course. All of the commands in CPM were the same commands when DOS came out. So there's a really strong relationship. But it was pre-DOS. And as I mentioned earlier, my degree is in computer science, networking in particular. And so we studied Cisco routers and Windows was the basis for the operating system. I didn't know a thing about a Mac. But it became so somewhere in the 90s. Well, maybe early 90s. It became so bogged down and so full of itself and so eager to improve without real change. And who does that, you know? How can you improve without real change? Well, Windows shows you, at least in that environment, it shows you how that cannot be accomplished. You can't improve by holding on to the same legacy code that Windows bulks up with every time it gets a new, they just add lines of code. It's hundreds of millions of lines of code in Windows 11. I know no more than they upgraded their operating system. That's all I know. I've got a Windows 10 computer here that I haven't had on in 2 years. I mean, it's not even been switched on in 2 years. And Macs are intuitive. It is a different road, a different way of doing things. But once you get used to, to close a window, it's on the left. And on a Windows, a Microsoft machine, to close a window, it's on the right. It's no more difficult than that. But when it gets right down to accomplishing work, I can get 10 times the amount of work done on a Mac than I could on any Windows machine, and at one time I knew my way around a Windows machine. So it became my machine of choice, and I've not been terribly interested in the guts, you know, and what's behind the screen. Let me let this drop. My radio's telling me I'm about out of power. But even though I'm not terribly interested in knowing what's behind the screen, what I can derive from the screen is enough to get work accomplished. That's enough for me. I'm not going to write code and ask the computer to do something for me. I'm going to do what most of us do, and that's get a specialized program to do a particular task. I didn't write it. I won't support it. I won't change it. It just got to do what it does. I don't ask a great deal of a computer. Maybe other people ask more of them. I don't know. But I really like a Mac, and I would just put computers over there and out of my life if I had to operate with a Windows machine. I really would. I couldn't manage it anymore. It's just too It's too hither or thither. KK4JBQ.
My brother is a programmer up in New Jersey working on a database of some kind. I'm not sure exactly what all it is he does. He's done that for a couple years from home since everything closed down up there in New Jersey. And his company is now moving down to North Carolina, I think to Charlotte. But they, last I talked to him, they didn't know exactly where they were going, didn't have a plan to move or whatever. But I think he gets to ride out to the end of the year and probably retire at that point.
4JBQ. I had to move to another handheld, one that I normally use. Are you receiving me well on this radio?
But it's considerably weaker than before.
That's interesting. I'm using the same antenna, but this radio has fresh batteries. That radio that I'm just speaking on has a dead battery in it. So, yeah, truly there are reasons for this. The radio I'm using on talk on is Malenko. It's a fairly decent one. And this one is about to say what you will. I normally use these things only as extension speakers. So I can listen to the net, like if I have to go to the kitchen or if I have to go to the bathroom, then I can just turn the regular one and I can hear, not necessarily talk, but I can hear that But I've pressed it into you tonight, and I admit that I have one. And it's probably casting spurious emissions all over the evening,
A lot of static from you now, and you were talking about beginning with computers. I started off with a Commodore, and we got my father one, who at the time I think was in his 60s, and he graduated on up to Windows, and he really used it. He used it for a lot of art stuff, the digital art that he would get all these art graphic stuff and mix those in with some of his writing. He did a lot of minutes for meetings, so he'd mix all those things in. And usually the graphics said something that was very different from what the words of the meeting.
I do think that at different stages of your life, a computer accomplishes different things. I don't use a computer. I don't use a phone. I don't use, like a smartphone. Okay. I don't use it like other people do. At one point, speaking of computers, at one point I thought if you didn't have a printer, you might as well not have a computer. This was back when 20 megabyte hard drives were very expensive, and the largest hard drive you could obtain. Honestly, 20 megabytes. And I have, in my collection of old hard drives, I have a 10 megabyte Western Digital hard drive. This thing cost me $500 for 10 megabytes. I have pictures, taken with a DSLR. I have pictures that are larger file sizes than that drive would hold. So I've seen earlier days. And maybe things were backwards, but we got along, didn't we? KK4JBQ.
In mine, I think the first one I got was, 57 megs hard drive, the biggest I could get at the time. That would have been, 80-something or other, two or three. And that was $2,700 for the whole computer. It was one of these things that was tailor-made by somebody in his own shop.
On the same ride. Now, not that has any intrinsic value. Intrinsic value is it's only good for you. That's not for anyone else. But I have mine, and you have yours. and they're similar. I do think that it serves me to have thought with a command line on a CPM machine when I graduated to a DOS machine, which itself was an early Handy EX 2000, I believe it was, EX 2000. I made payments on that computer before picking it up. It was expensive for me. And it took almost a year to make payments. You know, the thing was no longer in production. Things moved fast, you know. It was no longer in production by the time I picked it up. But I worked with it and installed, it didn't come with a hard drive. I installed a RLL, I think that's a short for run length limited. The way it drives right now. Not that I'm comparing sizes of hard drives or anything, but for $300, for crying out loud, today, you can get a 10 terabyte hard drive. It's just amazing. It's amazing to me. But other people just say, okay, fine, give me one, give me two, maybe. And just keep running. We developed over time, we develop an appreciation for things. It is not to be different than other people who have little appreciation for such things as we have known. But this is a generational gap. And own it, you know. Take A4KBQ.
Cassette from my uncle and my mother made back in, when was it? Early 90s, I guess, and he was asking her questions about when she grew up on the farm. She was born in 1915, and she talked about going to school in Surrey. Her father lost the farm, literally, during the Depression, and the family was raised in different places, so I learned some things from that tape. It was very interesting, because she followed all the way from in Surrey to driving the car, to going across country, to going around the world, and all that within a lifetime.
Well, in an attempt to make it easier on your ears, I've changed to another radio. It might be a little different. How's my signal?
It's better, still some static, but much, much more understandable. I think she's going to close down the computer in a few minutes.
It's going to go onto a standard mode, which means that we have a 3-minute window to talk. That mode is an unlimited window to talk, so the net will not be interrupted by the repeater timing out. So it's turned off at midnight. And you'll hear that around midnight. No big deal. Well, oddly, my receive has a lot of static on it. So, I'll put up with the static on this end if you're hearing a better output from this radio. KK Voice, AGT.
Signal now that it's coming through. Well, I think I may call tonight. You give me a lot to think about, and I'll send that file to you. Probably be in the morning or during the midday. I'd be interested in your comments about the file. I'm assuming you use Excel. I've got one tab on it that is directions on how to use it with an example that I took from Brevard College to put in courses. And then what I tell people is save it with a new name, generally a date as a new name, and put in all their information, and then every time they update it, to save it with a new name again a date and get their advisors to check off on it. I don't have much faith in advisors, as you have found out.
Depends who you can place faith in. That's a trick for a lot of folks. Who you can trust, who you can call a friend, how quickly you make friends, you know. It's one of those tricks that people learn, and some do not learn. They don't have any criteria whatsoever. They're friends with everybody. And Chad and I have a similar concept of friendship. When I meet you, you're not my friend. You can be my friend by proving yourself a friend. And it's proof, you know? And some people say, well, gee, that puts people on trial for a friendship. Well, I think you have to prove friendship. And that's not hard. It's really not. Not a big challenge, really. But I would welcome the file. I will look out for it in particular. Have yourself a really good night. Good night's rest. It's after midnight now. Coming up on 3 minutes, so I'll sign off. This is KK4JBQ, and I will be clear on your phone. That's true.
Well, I'm securing my station. Enjoy talking to you, and we'll be talking some more. 73, out.